Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spot.
Yes, sir. Let's get the air horn going one more time. One more time. D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. If you see the mood, you see why everybody's hyped up. It's because the Kings made a move. The Kings actually made a move. They made something happen on draft day, getting back into the first round and taking Neat Clifford out of Colorado State with the number 24 pick, man. So, man, we've got so much on that move, on what may happen today, all this other stuff, jam-packed show, first and foremost. Well, Damian Barling, he'll be here in just a second.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself!
I am Kenny Caraway.
Acknowledge me.
And we are...
from the worst slums of Sacramento.
And shout out to my man, Jesse Tapper.
What are you doing with him?
Come on, hey. Hey, salute to me, dog.
Hey, you know, I was gonna say, you know where it was this time. That's good stuff.
Salute to me,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Now, you graduated.
Yeah. I was doing my thing right there. But yeah, man, we've got so much going down today. Kyle Madsen, if you can hear me, I see you. I just need a second. I'll get there. But appreciate you. Man, they actually did it, Jesse. I wasn't sure. So let me run down the lineup too, real quick. Jay Gaten, he's going to pull up on us at 1 o'clock. We got my man Drake Uyu coming through at about 2:15. And then our usual Thursday hit with Matt George.
No, it's fine. Nothing to see here. Don't worry about anything. It's just a radio show.
We got Dame Barley in the house.
Nothing to see here.
But as I was going to say, I was running down all the list of people that are on the show today.
Hey, look, I'm one of them. That's terrific.
At one,
so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Kenny.
It's all good. At 1:15, we've got Jake, or 1:30, we've got Jake Fisher.
Yeah.
Jake got me last night. You see that? Jake got me last night. Jake got your boy last night. I was a little impatient. Mm. I got a little emotional.
Oh no! What'd you do?
So,
boy, look how good. Boy, look how good I look on this camera.
I see you, big guy. I see you.
Boy, I'm sitting here.
I see you now. So it was about pick 22 or something like that.
Okay, I'm listening. Keep going.
And nothing had happened. Nothing had happened with the Kings, and I made a tweet that said, hey, who in the hell told Jake Fisher anything? Or no, I said, who told him or what did they tell him or whatever? It wasn't, we've talked about this before, and I'll mention to Jake, it's not a shot at Jake. Like, Jake is certified and verified in this game, like Redacted Amick and all these. Like, they don't lie. But it's like, who was it the Kings who were telling him this? Was it agents? Was it people messing with the Kings? Here we are at pick 22 and nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I was like, who in the hell was telling Jake Fisher this stuff? Literally 3 minutes later, Shams comes on our TV, says the Kings have traded back into the first round with Oklahoma City. That happens, whatever. And then about 6-7 minutes after the draft pick of Neat Clifford goes down, in my mentions, Jake Fisher with two eyeball emojis.
See?
I said, you guys had to salute. I had to salute. Now, shout out to, I didn't even add him.
What a crazy.
I don't know how he found. I didn't even add him.
What a crazy turn of events where I have to look at you and say, bro, you got to stop being so emotional. You got to.
Well, the one
Casey,
that got me
gotta,
was.
You've got to exercise some calm. It was some the, zen.
It
some
was
woosah.
The heat pick. It was the heat pick.
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
Yeah. I was just sitting there like, I'm walking around the house like, nothing's going to happen. I don't know what y'all worried about. Ain't nothing going to happen. I was actually between, I was going up and down the stairs, and thankfully I have my phone in my hand when the Shams tweet pops up.
Yeah.
So I'm like turning around, trying to run back to the TV, like, all right, what's going on here? Let's see what's happening. And, well, they did. They got back in the first round, or got into the first round, I should say.
You know what else is bad about that? Another backstory to that tweet, which is really bad, and practicing patience is a virtue. I drafted that tweet at around pick 13, and I said, nah, I'm going to wait. I'm going to give it some time. I'm not going to put that out there, because I was going to tweet it at like 13. I said, nah, I'm going
to
wait.
And then
like 21 came around. I said, no, I've had enough.
You have to stop getting so upset so quickly. You have to, Casey, you just got to get your emotions under control, man.
I do.
Something about sitting in this chair is a little bit more calming, I think, than sitting on that side.
It's them lights.
It's the camera. I look amazing. I'm just going to point that out for the people who can't see this show. It is the day after the draft. I look terrific.
So can I say this about all of this?
Sure.
I've never seen the difference in that camera. The only difference I see is I'm closer.
Yeah, that's all it is. I think it looks more. Well, no, you know what it is. I think because it's closer, it changes your lights.
Mm.
Because the camera I think has some like zoom on it somehow that I'm sure Jonathan programmed.
Right.
I think it changes your lights. These lights actually look better for you. These lights look better for you because there is that light from hell right there that shines directly onto that seat.
Really,
yeah, that light is a bitch, and it is just right there.
And wear hats, so
I do not wear hats.
If you came in on a
morning cut,
yeah.
Nobody would see. It'd just be shining off of the top of your head because that light is brutal. So I think that's part of the difference over here. And yeah, obviously it's closer now. And it's calming. This is no wonder you were looking at me crazy the other day. It wasn't me. You just why is Kyle here?
He's just hanging out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
I guess.
He's fearful that I wasn't actually coming in.
I guess.
No, for those that don't know. No, Kyle's right here. Hey, man.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I'm here because, look, the justification for me working from home today was I have a dentist appointment at 2, so working from home, instead of leaving right after, I can hang out and I can help Jesse with some video stuff, so I'm listening to the program live, so if something happens that I want to cut, I can just jump over and cut it, and I figured it was easier for me to sit in here instead of just going on doing the whole log into YouTube. This is interesting for people to hear about.
Yeah, can I tell you the funny thing is, like, it didn't even register with me that you were at home and not here. Like, I was just like, oh, there's Kyle on the screen. Kyle must be joining.
So impactful.
No, it's like, wait, it's been a morning, man. I'm sorry. But appreciate you, Kyle. You're a hard worker, man. Thank you, brother.
Shout out, Kyle Madsen.
All right, that's Kyle Madsen. All right, I'm just trying to catch up.
That's
man.
All good. Well, what do you say? It's Nick Clifford. That's
yeah.
What he is right now, man.
I don't want to do the... I don't want to do the thing, but he looks good.
He does.
He's a solid ball player.
He does.
Like he's good. I mean, like I know I had heard his name. I know he was a player I watched. It must have been you. I don't know.
I'll tell you what happened, and I can't take credit for this at all. Dr. David, like 2.5 months ago, was like,
oh,
Casey, what you think about Nick Clifford?
Okay.
And I hadn't seen him at the time.
Okay.
And I was like, I haven't really watched him, but I'll check him out. And then, like, I didn't watch him.
Yeah.
And then he hit me up, like, a week later, like, dog, Nick Clifford, what you think? And I said, I hadn't watched him yet, Dr. David. So I started watching him a little bit more towards the the Mountain West tournament. And then his game against Maryland in the tournament, he was fantastic. But Dr. David he's the one that put me on to Nick Clifford.
Okay, I knew it's because I was kind of surprised. There was like a point where we got you know, as the draft goes along, like where you start not recognizing names the same way. And when the Nick Clifford name was, I was like, wait, we watched, like, whoa. And I just had to, who else would it have been? That was my name. It had to have been Kenny. Like, I know we watched like some, and then, I know Matt posted some stuff. I think you did. No, you did post some stuff. Cause I kept you on block all day yesterday. Well, thanks, that was crazy. Thanks. That was crazy.
Didn't tell me to take down the Jake Fisher tweet, but cool.
Well, I should have. yeah. Again, I don't want to do the thing, but he looks like a solid ball player.
He does. He does.
For sure.
He looks the same to me. There are things that I like, really like about his game. There are things that I'm concerned about his game on the next level. But what I like to do with these guys is I like to go back. I watch the highlights like everybody else and the mixtapes on YouTube and stuff like that. But because I have 10,000 subscriptions and can get any game that I want to, I like to go back and watch these games. And I watched a couple of his games last night, just how he moves out there. And like I said, I was impressed with a lot that I saw from him in that game setting, in, you know, working with his teammates and getting up and down the floor, the athleticism that people talked about. There are a number of things that I liked about his game.
Well, I came to the realization of some other things last night. And we started talking about it yesterday.
Oh, so you all the way there.
Yeah.
You back to your original number?
My original number.
Remember what he said opening night?
Oh. I said 98%. Yeah, that's part of it. Like, they need to make Jerry Reynolds the pizza guy because he's the only one who ain't going nowhere. You just need to stop handing this title to people. Like, I...
Yeah.
This is also, can we talk about Scotty McPerry here for a second? He was drafted at 20. Was he 23?
He's going to be 24 when the season starts. Yeah.
Okay. We talk about Vlade secretly running this team. What about Monty McNair still making picks?
Monty McFarhan.
Scotty McPerry was like, give me the oldest guy in the draft. Got him. Oh, this is a good call right here from Soren. Alvin Gentry can be the new pizza guy.
Oh, yes. Because we're not going to let Alvin leave.
So I don't want Malik to be gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at stuff and listening to things. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, what was the question or percentage that you think DeMar DeRozan starts the season? Mm-hmm. And I blurted out 98%. Mm-hmm. If you ask me if Malik is gone, I might give you a percentage that high.
Mm.
I just look at it like one of these things isn't like the other.
Yeah.
And I'm excluding Zach LaVine a little bit from that because I don't know that there's a lot you can do there. There might not even be a lot you want to do there, but I just don't think there's a lot you could do with that. I mean, we'll talk about it, but
I feel you.
I'm not
it
sure,
hurts
man.
Me too, man.
I'm
not that jersey. Sure. In 1 year, turn it into a throwback.
That's all right. Throwbacks get
that's
more
my
expensive.
Dog, too. Malik, I know. Come on, that's my dog. But, yeah.
Yeah,
I see the same things. I see the same 2020 vision. Damn. I'm reading the same tea leaves.
Yeah. Mm. Tea leaves are crazy.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wish I didn't. Well, I'm over here.
I'm going to tell you in a minute. Because over here, you got to – we'll tell you more. When D-Lo and Casey return on ESPN 13.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
20. Everything is fine.
Everything
is fine.
Round. Everything's great.
Kings are in the first round. Y'all wanted moves. You're going to get moves. You might not like all of the moves, but you're going to get moves. Matt's with us today, right?
Matt's with us.
You
yeah.
said we got Drake.
We got you. Yeah, Drake.
We got the good Drake. Jake Fisher. Jake Gayden with us at the top of the hour.
Jake Gayden at one. Yeah. Right. And the guy who got me, he got me. No. I was impatient. Once again, I didn't even at him.
But it's cool.
It's funny that he found it.
It's all good. I got to wear that one. I got to wear that one.
But yeah, that's funny, though. Sure. It's funny.
It's because he wasn't a jackass about it. It was just, I see you. I see your tweet. And I just got to salute him. All right, brother. You're right. Yeah, but so, okay, where do you? It's positive. It's good times.
It's great. It's great. Jesse, everything is wonderful.
It's
well, what is going on?
It's good times. The Kings drafted Neat Clifford. I want to start there. I was gonna
6'6".
I was gonna ask you. I was like, do you want to like expand on what you're talking about? But not now.
Not yet.
Not now. Okay. Now, yeah, let's
you know who I, times. Yeah, I'm kind of curious what Jake says. Fisher, Jaden too.
Yes.
Drake too. Yeah. I wonder. Wanted to rope Drake UU into a conversation. We won't do that. We'll save that for the next.
It won't take much.
There's only a handful of people that will get it. We'll do that at the next Live Skyrider show.
It won't take much. Oh, we got a minute. So, Drake, tell me. No, okay. We'll start right now. That's all it'll take. That's all it's going to take.
Oh, man. So great lineup, man. Excited for today. You want to hold off on the Malik stuff? That's perfectly fine. Let's talk about Neek.
Because I was trying.
Now, let's talk Neek. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk Neek, man. He's obviously Colorado State 6'6". I know when this happens, particularly when you get into the first round. I mean, you know, there's that he's going to turn 24 by the All-Star game, and people look at that as like such a negative. While on the other hand, you have people hollering about like, hey, man, these young men would be better if they stayed in college longer, but then they stay at college longer and you look at them like, hey, what's wrong with them? Like, bro, transferred from
Colorado
to Colorado State.
Yep.
And yo, what, like 18 and some change? He, I think, for 5-6 assists. Mm-hmm. Like, bro can almost 10 rebounds, do a variety of things in college. Now, again, that's why I said I'm not going to do the thing. I love the film. He looks athletic. Like sometimes you watch these young men in college, even these young ladies in college, you go, they can't really move. Like their movements are awkward. I don't know how that's going to work in the league, that where everything is just so, like, the league is so precise.
Right.
Like everything in the league is so precise. Defending, offense, every movement is precise. So you can only have, and they do exist, you can only have a handful of clunky players on your team. And he is not that. Like, he moves.
Right.
He is graceful. And he looks like a scorer. Like a guy, and I'm not talking about on, you know, a De'Aaron Fox level scorer. I'm talking about a guy who can score the ball from you from a variety of different ways. He looks like a legitimate rotational player. He looks like a guy, again, trying to look at the attributes, not necessarily the numbers that he appears to have. You take that Colorado State stuff and you put it on an NBA level with the Sacramento Kings. Yeah, it's like the molding of the clay, man. It's right there. The draft, some players need to be molded less than others. Mm-hmm. One of the things about Neek was he might be a NBA-ready player. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, yo, the Kings are in good shape in that regard in terms of having a roster guy.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I take away from guys who play all 4 years or come in to the league at 22, 23, 24 years old is they should be a lot more ready to at the very least be a rotational guy than an 18, 19-year-old. Some of these 18, 19-year-old guys are ready. That's your top guys, your Cooper Flags, your Ace Baileys. Like they can play at a high level immediately out of college. Then you got guys like Rob Dillingham, right, who's like 19 years old, who I think is super talented, is going to be a hell of a ball player, but he still needs to grow into his body, needs to grow his game a little bit more, and that's a little bit more of a project. When you look at Neek, obviously with that age and how long he's been in college, he falls into that category of somebody that I think day one can be effective on an NBA court and be part of an NBA rotation. A number of different things that I like about his game. I'll start with those things. I like his first step. Seems to have a quick first step, especially off the catch. Off the bounce, it's a little slower than maybe you would want. But catching that ball, you know, swing, he catches the ball, one step, jab and go, or just rip through and go. He's really, really quick with that. Another thing that really impressed me about him that I wasn't familiar with his game until I really sat down and watched it a little bit more is his natural passing ability. He has court vision out there and basketball IQ that I wasn't really aware of until I saw him again for a second and third look with some of the games I saw last night. It's just natural. It's just the way that he sees the floor. It's the way that he plays the game. That's going to be something. I don't know how much he's going to have the ball in his hands, and it's not necessarily like a point guard type vision. It's a guy that gets the ball on the wing, attacks towards the middle. He sees the help defense coming. He can dump it down. Like, he always hits that, always a very precise pass. Even one of his best passes in that NCAA tournament game against Maryland that they thought was the game winner, the ball was in Neek's hand. He was orchestrating the offense. Phenomenal one-hand cross-court pass to the guy who hit the three to give Colorado State the lead at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just natural. It's just court vision. It's just IQ. And that's something that I really like about his game that I wasn't super familiar with before. The last thing is he's a pretty good defender.
Mm-hmm.
He is a pretty good defender, mm-hmm. pretty good on-ball defender. Off the ball, he kind of gets lost a little bit in a couple of the games that I saw, but it's nothing crazy. But on ball, he's a lot better guarding the basketball than I realized. I think they say he got a 6'8 wingspan. To be a shooting guard, that's a good look. That's a good look. And that'll allow him to potentially guard 1s, 2s, and 3s in the NBA, depending on the matchup. So there was a lot to like about his game. I'll stay with the likes. We'll talk about some of the things that I'm a little concerned about.
Well, can we go? Can we? Because you said a lot there. Mm-hmm. And I'll just sprinkle a little seasoning on it. We'll come back to it. We're going to let it marinate. We'll come back
Sasha
to it later.
Sasha don't like that. He said there's too much seasoning in this country.
That's why we sent Sasha out of here.
That was his big complaint.
Get your little bland-ass food somewhere else. But we'll season the steak a little bit, let it marinate, and come back to it. But everything you just said is why I've landed on the conclusion I have about Malik.
Mm.
And you start to look around, and we asked, it's hard for me to believe Scott Perry wasn't listening to this show yesterday, because we asked, what type of player is he looking for? Mm-hmm. And man, did he tell us. We asked what he wants this team's identity to be, and man, did he tell us in detail. And you look around and you wonder, who do the Kings have that fits that? Mm-hmm. And who do the Kings have that doesn't? So we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
But what are you concerned about with Neek Clifford?
So some of the areas of his game that we'll see if he improves or not is his shot. His shot got better. I'll even say this, from distance, I'm more concerned about his shot. Catch and shoot from distance. Mid-range, coming off the bounce, that was actually a plus for me. Seeing him, it's real natural, it's real fluid. So if he can get to that 16, 17-foot range, 15-foot range, I like him on the pull-up right there. The catch-and-shoot three, I want to see that improve. The numbers improved. Mm-hmm. The numbers improved as he went along in college. But in some of the games I saw, he still had some tough misses. You know, it was just like the shot had no chance. His form, which isn't the end-all, be-all, but it's hit or miss. Sometimes he goes up real fluid with the shot. Sometimes it's he shoots the ball in parts. You know what I mean? It's not as fluid. So that's something that I'm typically critical of basketball players, right? Like, I'm always looking at that jump shot. I need you to be able to shoot the basketball. And while the numbers went up, I want to see him, because I think ultimately his destiny is a 3-and-D guy. I want to see him be a little bit more fluid, a little bit more consistent with that jump shot to make his true impact in this league. So that was, like I said, not a red flag. It's not something I would not draft him for. I just think needs improvement. And he's shown improvement over the years, so that's cool. The other thing is his handle. If he's going to be a guard and potentially somebody that handles the rock, I want to see him tighten up that handle a little bit more. It's sometimes not in per se some of the games that I saw, because he wasn't even handling the ball that much in the games that I saw. But in some of the film breakdowns I saw of him, the handle was a little bit of a question, and some of the moves just got a little loose with it. He's 6'6", he's tall, and sometimes these, if he's going up against a guy that's a little shorter than him, 6'3", something like that, they can get under him on the defensive end and kind of cause some problems with that handle. So that's something that can be fixed, though. That's a good thing, even easier than the shot, you know what I mean? Like, just get with some of these skill development guys, and they can work on different things to help that handle improve. But that's an area of improvement as well. But other than that, he's pretty solid, man. He's pretty solid across the board. Great rebounder. I didn't even mention that. Mm-hmm. Great rebounder at the guard forward position. So I think that'll translate as well. So those two things stood out. But other than that, he's a solid ball player.
6'6". Not really much of a conversation about one. You just mentioned his handles. Mm-hmm. Two?
Mm-hmm.
Three?
Yeah, and certain lineups and certain matchups.
Yeah, for sure. Ends there.
So I heard James talking about it earlier. I mean, really depending on the matchup. Maybe,
okay.
Maybe a four. You look. I think Kyle was talking about it. Kyle and James were talking about it. But you look at OKC, and we have this idea and this thought process of who Lu Dort is and size and all this other stuff. Lu Dort's like 6'4", 6'5". Caruso's 6'5". Jalen Williams is like 6'6", 6'7". SGA obviously is 6'3", 6'4", something. They closed out games, those four. So when you ask that question about potentially four, yeah, depending on who they're playing and what's going on. Look, you look at that situation. They face OKC in a game, late in the game. And if OKC is closing out with Chet, SGA, Dort, Williams, and Caruso, yeah, you could throw Clifford in there in that matchup, and that'll work out. So it just depends on the situation. But I think his bread and butter is going to be two and threes. I think that's going to be his bread and butter.
And that's a good look for the Kings, especially if he can defend the way it appears that he can at least defend the way that he did in college. Mm-hmm. Having a guy probably more so at that three position than the two position being able to defend. And now you can start messing with lineups. Now you can start – if you can play that level of defense, and again, virtually every write-up has some form of the most ready NBA player. Mm-hmm. Some like form of that sentence is included in most of the write-ups about Nick Clifford. And now you start looking at situations where, okay, if Zach LaVine is such a problem for you, then you have Nick out there with Keon Ellis. Mm-hmm. If DeMar DeRozan, who I do think is going to be on this team, and I'm kind of happy about it, mm-hmm. Another hill to die on is that one. That I'm sorry, I don't think DeMar sucks.
Yeah. It's not a one man wolf pack. Yeah. I'm with you.
Well, we'll die together. Romeo and Juliet just going out together. Okay, now all of a sudden you have multiple defenders. Going back to Scott Perry's characteristics of this basketball team. Now all of a sudden, we got a guy who maybe isn't the strongest on defense. It's all good. We got a lineup that helps protect that. Mm-hmm. All good. We've got a lineup that helps protect that. Or we've got players that help protect that. We can find lineups along the way, and you start, you know, and this is one of those things where this is probably, you know, not seeing Nick Clifford in the pros, but using the breakdown of Nick in college. These are the type of players that you probably want on your team. The good at defense. He could do a lot on the offensive end, but he's good on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. You know, we get into these like Jared Vanderbilt. Oh, they're so good on the defensive end. Defensive specialist. Great. What is the first thing you will point out about Jared Vanderbilt?
Can't play him in the playoffs.
He's going to get played off the court. And it happened regularly, right in front of us. And it's like, oh, that's problematic when you're trying to get to the playoffs. Now, you know, Kings fans, just get to the playoffs first. All right. But you know, don't use the sentence, oh, we want to be bigger than that, while going with this defensive specialist type thing, because this is where you run into problems. The high-end defensive players and high-end offensive players that are one and the same, those are few and far between. Those guys you name, like, I don't even know who the best in the league is right now. I know who used to be the best in the league. Paul George, Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard. Those guys used to be some of the absolute best of the best on both sides of the ball.
You'd be lucky today, and I'm sure there's guys that we can talk about, but to get a Jalen McDaniels.
It is.
Like, Jalen McDaniels, like, might be top five in the league at being able to play both ends.
Shea's not a top five defender.
No.
But he's...
He's really
he's
good.
He's a really he's good two-way player. Yeah. He might be the best two-way player in the league. Am I missing someone?
I put De'Aaron up there. I remember during this, when he was here, I thought De'Aaron was – I thought at the very least
he was
the best.
What a hell of a baby face turn that was. What is the reverse of this?
I put it, but maybe not in the whole league, but I had him as the best two-way player.
And engaged De'Aaron Fox.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. I'll go 100% with that. You got some?
I don't even think you know a guy. you do a whole show for the last 3 months, and it's like, oh.
Well, I got to be consistent. I said it when he was here.
But I do agree with
Tatum
him.
I think Tatum is there. I think Tatum is on that list.
Is that right? Tatum, you think Tatum one of the best two-way players in the league?
Tatum,
yeah, he is. Tatum better than Jalen?
Defensively?
Jalen.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah, he'll guard the best
Brown.
Player.
Sorry.
Jalen Brown, yeah. Tatum will guard, like, the best player, like, the best wing on the opposing team. That usually turns out to be the best player more times than not.
He stepped it up this year, too.
Like, I thought he was really good defensively.
I don't know if he'll ever get, like, all defensive team honors or anything like that, but, yeah, he's really good defensively.
Oh, okay. Sorry. The answer is Giannis.
Yeah, well, yeah.
the answer is Giannis Antetokounmpo. So my apologies. Naming a few, the best is probably Giannis. And then, you know, you talk about the Tatums, the De'Aarons, and those guys. Apologies. Add me to the national media. Just forgetting about how great Giannis Antetokounmpo is.
But your original point was those guys are.
There's not like you're talking about the absolute best players in the league. Mm. Like, having a guy who can be good on both ends has probably more value than a guy who's great on defense. Mm. Because, as you pointed, Jared Vanderbilt's a really, really good defender. But when you're 4-on-5 on the other end, you've put your team in a deficit.
Yeah.
And coaches recognize that and make their move.
Yep.
Yep. And we saw the Lakers do it. Yep. And I'm sorry to keep picking on Jared Vanderbilt. He's a good ball player. He has shortcomings. And his name was on the wish list of Kings Twitter for a long time. And, hey, great. But, like, that's the problem with guys like that, is there's going to come a point. You can't talk about DeMar being a ball stopper and saying, oh, he messes up the whole offense and everything changed when he got here, and then saying, you know what we need is a guy who's really good on the defensive end but can't do jack worth of anything on the offensive end, and thinking, well, that's not going to mess up what we do on the offensive end.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, every good player on the De'Aaron at the time, De'Aaron's getting – he's got two on him every time. Mm-hmm. Domas, same thing. Well, Keegan can't get a clean shot off. Well, Jared Vanderbilt, now he's hindering Keegan Murray's growth. God damn it. Everything is screwing up Keegan Murray's growth.
Except for Keegan Murray.
Except for that. Literally got that on Twitter last night. Oh, he's messing up Keegan Murray. All right, man. If anyone ever walked in this building and said, man, KC's really messing up, you know, D'Lo's ability. Well, throw my sorry ass out of here. If I'm ever hindering Kenny Caraway's growth, just throw my ass out. Throw us all out.
Bumper to dump it is just messing up.
Just awful. Just terrible. Because at some point, I gotta have a small bit of pride. Like, let me control whether I'm good at this or not.
Yeah.
But no, it's everybody else's fault.
We're treating Keegan like he a kid.
Bro.
It's a grown-ass man.
Man.
But, you know, ironically, there's some Keegan I saw in Nick Clifford. And I say that in a positive way. Keegan Murray.
Oh, okay.
And I say that in a positive way, man. I think There are elements to Nick Clifford's game, his really on the defensive end, that I saw reminded me of Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
And if you can get those guys in certain lineups out there together, that's the – now, I will say this about Keegan. He does need help on the defensive end. And if you get a guy out there like Nick Clifford, you know, to help him on the perimeter, or maybe allow Keegan to guard threes, and depending on the matchup, Nick can battle a little bit inside on the boards with some of these fours or something like that, that'll help out a lot for Keegan Murray. So, I'm hearing, you know, some of the things that you said, reading some of the things I've read, thinking about it myself. I don't know if there's a spot for Nick in the starting lineup right now, but he is a player that is borderline starter capable.
Okay.
That is going to be coming off your bench now and being part of your rotation.
He could be your sixth man.
Well, yeah, because you're going to need one, and he's not going to start. There's no place for him to start.
That's right. I don't think there is. Did James break the chair? God damn it, James.
You're right, dude.
Yeah. It's been a week, bro.
No, it has.
It's been a hell of a week. I'm just trying to survive.
Just trying to live.
I'm just so trying to survive. My kids. Were you?
I don't know all the girly girls.
Were you? You fired off the tweet. What pick were we at? You said it was a couple minutes later.
So when I drafted it, okay. It was like 13. When I fired it off, the tweet, by the way, when I fired the tweet off, it was literally like 20, it had to be like 23, because I pressed in, and then
that's amazing.
I see Shams on my team.
That's amazing.
Pick 13 feels a little early to draft that up, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
My bad.
Mr.
Impatient. Some respect, huh?
Like, I told you I was impatient. I said it yesterday.
I hear you did.
I said I'm impatient right now.
So clearly, okay, so you fired the tweet off at 23. Jake Fisher coming for his retribution here in a little bit. 1:30, right, for Jake Fisher?
Yeah,
Jake Gaten at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Did you get to a point where you didn't think it was going to happen? When you got to 20?
It was the Miami pick. I don't know why, because people had mentioned, I think James had mentioned, but other people had mentioned OKC. So probably would have been smart of me. It would have behooved me to wait till OKC picked to figure out if I was going to make that tweet or not.
Yeah.
But the Miami pick was the trigger. And then like one after that. And then I think what also happened was the trade with the Hawks and the Pelicans. That also triggered me. I'm like, all right, man, come on now.
Casey's like, that was our pick anyways.
So I was like, man, you're out here doing stuff, man. But it was the combination of all that. And I said, I'm good to the drafts. I'm sending this tweet off. And then Shams.
He ordered a Knicks jersey while waiting. That's how it
was. Well, they didn't have a damn pick.
Well, yeah, so they couldn't mess anything up.
Shout out to the Knicks, man.
We'll come back. There was no reason for that. Shout out to the Knicks for what?
Because I support the Knicks. What are you talking about?
No, you make that pretty, make that pretty clear.
They're
not
my guys like the Kings are, even though. Damn, we got another.
Yeah, to be honest, like, they got bounced a few weeks ago. You don't have to keep telling us you love the Knicks.
Mm.
You guys keep bringing them up.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
You guys keep bringing the Knicks up. I'm talking about the Kings, my team, the Kings.
We'll come back. Kenny, we'll talk about what the Knicks will do tonight in the draft. No, in all seriousness, we'll talk more. Sacramento Kings, Jake Gaten at CBS 13. We got a lineup if you ain't heard. Jake Gaten at 1 o'clock. Jake Fisher at 1:30. He's coming for his retribution after Kenny was talking trash. Drake Uyu going to join us for a visit at 2:15. And then Matt George. Man, Matt had some great insight into everything that happened last night on the Locked On Kings podcast. We'll talk to him in the 3 o'clock hours. D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
My boys, hey, Your boy going through it over here.
I had to get that because it's Kings today. It's Kings on the radio.
I got you.
So I had to get that in, and I was they played in about they're actually probably first pitch about to start and it's trying to salvage a game against the Miami Marlins. Salvage.
He's so distraught he can't even bring himself to watch something on his iPad. It's just that YouTube screen with boxes on it. My man's going through it. It's a tough day for your
Bold
boy
and
over
the Beautiful
here.
Is on right now, for anybody wondering.
Man, them shows do not go. What was the last soap opera that ended?
I think All My Children is still going on.
Is it?
I think.
I don't know.
But I'll tell you, Young and the Restless, when my boy Victor Newman goes, just send the show out to pasture. I apologize to Nick. I apologize to...
Bro, I don't know what you're saying right now.
I apologize to... I think it's...
I'm just trying to keep up on Love Island, and you're talking about shows.
You know what I believe the last soap opera to end, by the way, was As the World Turns.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Never watched it or heard of it, but...
Yeah, no, really?
Yeah.
What year did it end?
2010.
Wow. Yeah, Jesse would have never watched that.
Do you have the years that it ran? It had to have run from, like, the 50s.
My guess.
I think...
My guess is 63.
I think I'm going to go earlier because I think the Kennedy assassination news broke in on As the World Turns.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna go 1956.
Ooh, there it is.
I see you cooking.
There it is.
I see you cooking.
Big soap TV guy, huh?
Music didn't play, so it didn't matter.
What did you say?
It's a big soap TV guy.
Well, no, you know what it is I love watching historic moments and how they happen through the media.
Yeah.
So I've watched like a million... like JFK videos and like there's just so many like fascinating different ones. For some reason there's one I remember where it's the 60s. It interrupts a commercial and it's like a woman vacuuming in a dress and high heels and I think it's a commercial for like soap or something and it's like, you know, bulletin and everybody talks like this just in from Dallas, Texas. President Kennedy was shot in a motorcade on his way to, you know, something. And then, you know, there's the, you know, obviously there's so many different ones. But I swear that was the one that I'm thinking was, that's the CBS one maybe, was during As the World Turns. But I'm not sure.
Not classic.
But I love watching stuff like
but
that.
But yeah, Young and the Restless is the one. Young and the Restless started in 1973, by the way. And when Victor decides it's over, that's when he he's done, that's when the show needs to end.
That kind of makes no sense. How does that, like, how's that TV show still running?
Because of Victor Newman.
No, like, all these shows get canceled, this and that, but these ones, like, how is that
he's the GOAT. He's Eric Braden, Victor Newman, who follows me on Twitter.
Like, they really do numbers like that.
What?
Yeah, Eric Braden follows me on Twitter, and he hates when people call him Victor Newman. Like, if they see it, like, if he came in here
he's
right now.
He's probably aware of how frequently you talk about him, and
you
he's like,
only
yo, I
call
gotta,
him Victor Newman.
Yeah, like, but he hates your guts.
If he were to come into the studios right now, and it's like, Victor Newman, he'd be, like, pissed. Call him Eric Braden.
Well, I imagine, like, Jaleel White doesn't want you calling him Steve Urkel either.
That's true. Very true.
I don't think Zach Moore. I know Mario Lopez gets pissed if you call him AC Slater.
Well, I'm gonna call him AC Slater.
Well, that's fine.
This is Mario. I don't like the company he keeps. But my boy Zach, that's my boy.
Like Lotus Prime right here, though, is a built-in audience. So it's just the retirement communities for life. It's just because I'm assuming that's who's watching it because it's not during the day and stuff like that, right?
That yeah, and that's yeah. It's so it's forever. But I don't know if it makes the next generation. Like, what we have right now, they started, like, a black soap opera that comes on CBS. I forgot what it's called. It's, like, All the Gates or something like that. But that, it's a soap opera that started this year, which is unheard of right now. But it's actually solid, too. But I don't know if they make it to the next generation. You talk about Love Island, though. Did you see they were having a Love Island watch party?
No, here?
In the club, yeah.
Oh, no. Here in Sacramento?
Yeah, I ain't going to say the club because I ain't crazy about the club. But
okay.
They, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
no,
it was packed.
I believe it. It's hard to keep it. That show airs like every day.
I thought so, too. I don't know when the new episodes would be happening.
I think they happen every day.
That's crazy. It's just
like I tried to sit down to watch one a couple nights ago in the last night on Love Island. Really? But...
Shows a lot of chaos.
It is.
Yeah.
I like it. I just can't keep up with it. And my partner at home is like, yeah, I'm home 6 hours before you are. I'm going
to
watch
it. She tapped into to the day's episode.
Yeah, like seven times she's already seen it. And then, like, I'll be behind. We'll watch the next episode together. And I'm like, who the hell is that? Oh, that's the bombshell from 2 weeks ago. The hell is a bombshell? I didn't even know.
Shout out Tony. He says they're not on Wednesday and Saturday.
Okay, okay. All right, understood.
Just like a real soap opera. Soap operas are, they're not on weekends.
When are those soap operas? Okay, we've got to get back to what we're here for. When are soap operas shot?
I think a week before.
Okay.
They shoot because
it's like
week.
It's nonstop.
Yeah, I think they shoot every week.
Okay.
But it airs the next week after
got
they
it.
Shoot.
I got believe. It. Got it, got it, got it. So we have laid out the pros and cons of Neek Clifford. I don't know why I'm so loud. Sorry. Now we can get into what we think that means for the current roster. Let's touch on Sam Amick's report today. Shout out, Sam. Amick. I hope you didn't get in trouble for me saying your name out loud. Say it three times and he appears. There was some Jonathan Kuminga stuff written in there, though he quickly acknowledges he's not coming. Like, it's... You can have interest. A lot of teams are going to have interest. That is the Golden State Warriors' biggest trade chip. Jonathan Kuminga, to me, is the reason why haters like you and I should probably be a little worried. I think they can use Jonathan Kuminga to land someone who really helps them and really works for them. And for whatever reason, it's not Kuminga. He'll go out, have a clean slate. They'll be able to get someone in there who might be able to fit them a little bit better and make them... And given, you know, I think there are going to be some teams that are really, really interested in him. You know, that sign and trade stuff, you're talking a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which means the return is not going to be bad.
No, it's not. One thing that I don't worry about it because, yeah, I hope they lose and I hope they burn in hell.
Yeah.
But one of the things I'd worry about if I was Drew Down. And maybe it's a fine, but that's still money that's going towards the cap. Like if you want to sign Jonathan Kuminga or salvage the asset by doing a sign and trade, you got an expensive team already.
Sure.
And as opposed to just letting him walk.
Yeah, I don't think you could do that though. Like look, we both know there's one goal and one goal only. And it's not even Warriors win a championship. Yeah, that's it.
As long as
it's get Steph to five. Yeah. That's it.
Well, no chance. But
yeah.
I understand trying.
Yeah.
I do. Like, you have to as long as he's around.
Yeah.
And he wants to do that. So, but, I mean, it's something that they've planned out. I'm sure they've planned for. They're ready to do. But I just look at the dollar amount slots, and you're talking Steph. I'm talking big money. You're talking Steph, Draymond, Jimmy Butler. And this new guy, that's got to be a second apron team. Wouldn't you think? Like, all those are at least $30 million plus.
Yeah, let's see where the Golden State Warriors are. Where's Bobby Marks when you need him? I know he's already done this. The Golden State Warriors are currently projected $154 million over the project. They are currently over. Oh, they're at $177 million. I got them at $177.7 million. They're close to being hard capped. So the draft, yeah.
Jimmy, and yeah. Help me out with this. Bobby probably explains it, but Jimmy's new deal didn't kick in, did it?
No, I believe it kicks in this year.
So that's where they're at before his deal, right?
He's got a video. Oh, this is with our brothers over at 95.7. Kuminga controls the Warriors free agency situation. Well, they're feeding me a lot of videos of Bobby Marks. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the graphic that he puts together after each team gets eliminated, where he has all of their caps and projected and all of that stuff.
You got to go way back in the archive for the Kings joint. Been a long time since they played.
Way back. Back in the time.
But, I mean, yeah, I that's something they've got to deal with. But to your original point with what was in that article, the Kings, I don't feel like they can have the interest. I don't think like they're in a position to actually be a real
yeah. I don't think so, and I could absolutely be wrong in this regard too. I don't think Golden State would have any interest in doing that with Sacramento mm-hmm. either.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't if I was them.
I'm not
trading Kuminga to the Kings.
We know you wouldn't. The future of Kuminga, restricted free agent, plays a role in how much flexibility the Warriors have this season. Without him on the roster, Golden State is 17.5 below the luxury tax. They are $25.5 million and $37 million below both aprons. They are allowed to use their $14.1 million non-tax mid-level exception, but would not be allowed to exceed the first apron once the roster is filled out. So
that's with him not on the roster.
That's with him not on the roster.
If you sign and trade, he's essentially on the roster. You become a first apron.
And if he's not, someone is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his contract is
almost certainly. I mean, at $25.5 million, if you're $25.5 million away from the first apron, mm-hmm. the money I think Kuminga commands. Yeah, I think so.
25-30.
Yeah, I think so. So, anyways, the point is that was noted by Sam. Russell Westbrook was noted by Sam Amick as well. There seems to be, and Hammer certainly broke down his perspective yesterday. I feel like there might be a little bit more smoke to the Dennis Schroeder stuff than just Dennis Schroeder trying to get his money from Detroit. The two don't have to be mutually exclusive, by the way. Dennis Schroeder's preference could be to be in with the Detroit Pistons, and the Sacramento Kings have interest. Mm-hmm. Both of those could be true. Dennis Schroeder could also think, and his people could think, well, hey, yo, where's the money at? It could be as simple as that. Mm-hmm. The thing about Russ, though, and we said this when it happened, Russ opted out of a year. I do not believe Russell Westbrook opted out of that three. You know, it's not major money. It's not like he opted out of $36 million. It's like three and some change or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I do not believe Russell Westbrook blindly opted out of that deal.
Right. I don't think any of these guys do.
If he's coming to Sacramento, he's like he knows that right now today. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Sam might have been a little bit more definitive in his remarks about Russell Westbrook, other than they've explored the idea of Russell Westbrook. I feel like Russ has a team right now today. And given the way Sam wrote that particular part of the article, I do not think it's the Sacramento Kings.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.